Blog Talk Radio.
Saints of the Most High, Yah. This is Elder Rufus here with the Straightway Truth Ministry. Thank you for joining us here on Blog Talk Radio. We have the program. We give it the name. You have questions. The book has answers. Hallelujah. Appreciate all of you faithful, beloved saints joining me this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Ugly, in the chat. Gave me a 10. That's on sound. Sister Brittany, the same. So I'm assuming everybody can hear me well. I'm glad I have a new headset. Wanted to make sure it's working properly. Sounds like it is. Hallelujah. So glad to be before you again today. I know we got a lot going on out there in this world. A lot of ripping and running and fighting and fussing and you name it. Hallelujah. But we are amongst the living, and it is a beautiful thing to be at this place in this hour serving the Most High Yah. So glory to the King. Again, I welcome those that may be new to this broadcast that might have stumbled upon us on their way. You're on Blog Talk Radio, of course, you know that. You have stumbled across the Straightway Truth Ministry. This is the Brothers segment. It's filled with brothers and teachers and deacons and elders. And, you know, we split the responsibility on this broadcast. So there's 4 to 5 of us that come before you bringing a word of Yah and just being submitted servants to the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. So this week it is my opportunity to fellowship with the saints. Again, I'm Elder Rufus. I'm an elder here in the ministry, in the faith of the Most High Yah. Excited, looking around and seeing familiar names and pictures of familiar people that I'm glad that you're still in the race. I'm glad you're still serving the Most High. Hallelujah. This has been one incredible dead season. When you hear Pastor Dowell and the rest of us get up and talk about it, it's been a dead season like none other. Excuse me. But it's a beautiful thing to still be able to press forward and to serve. It really is. For those of us that really enjoy this, you know, really are what the book calls cheerful givers. We are willing servants and willing slaves, and we realize that we have been purchased with a price that none of us could have paid. None of us, no matter how great or how good or how set apart we may think we are, there was nothing we could have ever done to be saw, to be truly worthy of the blood of the Messiah. And I'm grateful. I'm very, very grateful. He chose not only myself, but all of you that are my family, that know inside your heart that you are committed in this thing until the end. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I'm giving some of you a few minutes to get logged in. I see there are folk coming in through the chat room. There are people coming in through the switchboard on phone calls. So just kind of giving y'all a little bit of time to get in. And we are going to get started. We've had several different questions submitted this week and about the leading of the Spirit. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of tie it all together, because when I sit back and I look at these questions and I look at the intent, the individuals asking these questions and the desire of these individuals, it kind of all works itself together. Being able to be, we're going to talk about things like intimacy, blasphemy. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, how not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about praying in tongues, all these things that are necessary for you to be connected, to stay in the so-called pipeline of the Most High Yah. You hear the statement being made by Pastor and a lot of other ministers in the ministry, stay connected, stay connected, stay connected, stay connected. It sounds simple. Boy, from watching this dead season, y'all, it is definitely easier said than done. Hallelujah. Over to the King. All right, I think I've given enough time. It's been a couple minutes and a few minutes, so we're going to get rocking and rolling here. And again, thank you all for joining us tonight. Elder, don't take the responsibility of fellowshipping and serving the saints lightly at all. And it's humbling, and it's an honor for people to come and desire to hear from you what saith Yahweh. Hallelujah. Now, just in case somebody's new, I am not the man of Yah. I am just a man of Yah. Hopefully you have the understanding and the ears to hear to make sense of that. All right. Pastor Charles Dowell, he is the head of this ministry. He is a senior pastor. You can put all kind of titles on. The main thing he is he is the man of Yah. calling this hour. And I am just a man of Yah calling this hour to serve alongside of him and with him willingly to help achieve the goal of the Most High Yah, which is that all Israel be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. So I don't want any mistakes from anybody that's new thinking, oh, he's it. No. This is where we at and this is who we are. And I have zero issues with the role that the Most High Yah has assigned for me. Because I have to say that because I look out in Israel a lot. That's what I do, right? Is look out in Israel and see, you know, who are we and what are we and why are we as a people? And what is it that we're doing to move forward to get closer and be more prepared for this great feast that's coming, this great wedding that's coming. Hallelujah. And I don't want anybody thinking that place and, or he's this and no. I'm just Elder Rufus, looking to serve, looking to be faithful. Hallelujah. Looking to come alongside the man of Yah, not run out in front of him, not trying to lead him, not trying to guide him. Nope, that's his job to do for us. Paul was very, very clear about telling us to follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what I do as a willing servant. I follow Pastor Charles Dow as he follows Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right. So I think we're going to get started because in this area, and we're going to talk a little bit about intimacy because I know a little bit back I did a broadcast and I went into what it is and what it looks like. And you know, it's when you're in it, it's kind of simple to speak on, but when you don't have it, it may be harder for you to apply because you may lack understanding in these areas. Now, the book is very, very clear. We have not because we ask not. The Father already knows what we have need of before we come before him. But a lot of these things that are spiritual, we don't get them because we're not truly seeking his face and we're not truly humbling ourselves and earnestly desiring these levels of gifts. And sometimes, even if you think that you are, you could be doing it amiss, meaning that your desire for them may be from the wrong perspective. It may be coming from your own personal individual lust instead of your desire to be pleasing to the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. I pray that makes sense for some of you. I know it does, but I'm praying for those that it don't, because your mind can be warped and you can be tricked. If you listened to anything to this last message that Pastor Dow did this last Shabbat, you can put yourself in a position in a category that Yah has not put you in. And because you've opened the doorways and the gates for the Hasatan and his evil servants and wicked imps to come in and spirits to deal with you, you won't see who you really truly are. Hallelujah. And for today's segment, however you want to call it, you know, when we come together for this fellowship, we just don't want people to be fooled. We don't want people to be fooled. So I've had many brothers come to me asking me, you know, about this intimacy thing and what does it look like and how do I get to this point and how do I get there? And, you know, for me, because I've been in that mode for a very, very long time, decades, y'all. Right? I've been in that mode for a long, long time with the Most High. It seems clear as a bell. But I'll do my best today to try to truly break this thing down and explain it in a way so that everybody can, like, really understand this thing and then go forward and try to truly apply it. And I hope that makes sense. Hallelujah. Because it all starts with your level of humility. It all starts there. When you have a humble heart, then the Most High knows that he can utilize you in the ways that he wants to because you are putting yourself in the most vulnerable position you can be in. And I believe that because a lot of times we're prideful or we're fearful or we lack faith in all these areas. We don't want to trust all these things, right? We will not surrender ourselves to the Most High. Hallelujah. We won't come to him like a child would come to you. Some of you that have children, you know, you father children or you're the mother of children. Even some of you that may not, you may be a child and have siblings, but you don't have your own children. You know the way that an infant totally hinges on every single thing, and they need everything taken care of. They really can't do anything on their own. They need the assistance of a mother and of a father and of family members, right? That is how we need to come before the Most High. And that takes you, you have to be, I should say, in an extreme vulnerable place with him. And that starts by just humbling yourself and understanding that I need the Most High. And believe it or not, that is one of the hardest hurdles for a lot of saints to get over. Truly believing inside their hearts that they actually need the Most High. And let me tell you why. The way you've been raised and reared and programmed in this Western European culture, it tells you, because you breathe, you have the power to figure every single thing out on your own. You have the power to intellectually come up with ideas and thoughts and solutions and problem solve. No, you really don't. The Bible's clear that there's nothing new under the sun. So you may think that you coming up with this new creative thing and you're the type of person that you don't, you know, some men out here teaching you don't have to listen to no man. Well, how are you supposed to learn about this book? How are you supposed to learn about this true intimacy unless you talking to someone that has actually been there, done it, and living in it and experiencing it? How are you going to do it? But this society tells you, oh, you'll just figure it out. Do as thou wilt. And that stuff starts at birth. And then you have this perpetual attitude coming from people that don't love the Father on the level that they should, that allows this, and they breed this, and they grow this type of attitude, and they don't understand that it is an anti-Christ spirit, because it pushes you further away from Yah, and it makes you do what the book totally commands you not to do. The book says, lean not to thine own understanding, correct? Now this is what you've been trained and programmed to do, is to lean to your own understanding. And that understanding is shaped and formed out of sin. Everything that has been exposed to you by the family members around you, the people that you've been exposed to through schools and jobs and you name it, that's where you're starting to shape and form ideas and thoughts. And you formulate in your mind, this has got to be this. No, that's not real true reality. The Bible and what it says is real true, and it's the real reality if you are a true Hebrew Israelite. Hallelujah. That is your foundation, the word of Yah, the scriptures, nothing else. Not what mama said, not what papa said, unless they raise you in these scriptures and they installed in you, trust these scriptures. Lean on these scriptures. Get your wisdom and understanding from these scriptures. And if we're honest, the majority of us, that's not how we came up. So anytime these scriptures start to speak in your life in any way, shape, or fashion or form it comes, sometimes it comes through rebuke. Sometimes it comes in correction. Sometimes it comes in challenges and fears. Your natural inclination from the way you've been trained is to throw your hands up and say, oh, I don't know about that now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Instead of submitting yourself and smothering yourself with these scriptures and just basking in them so that they become a part of who you are, so that when you hear something that is against those, that's when your spirit says, bing, 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 that's not right because the book says. See, these are the internal conversations we have to switch over to and start having. What does the book say? Ding, ding, ding. The book says. See, when I hear people talk, instantly in my spirit, it's saying to me, either this person is in agreement with Yah or this person is not in agreement with Yah. Hallelujah. And half the time, these people don't know. They don't understand it on that level. They just don't. But that's the mode that we have to be in if we're going to have this level of intimacy that we're talking about, that we want, we say that we want. But it takes real true sacrifice. Any of you that have ever been married or been in any level of a relationship, you know, mother to child or husband to wife or brother to sister or, you know, brother, anything, it takes work. And it takes sacrifice. And you have to put yourself out there. You have to be vulnerable. That comes through humility first. Acknowledging with your mouth and in your mind and in your heart that I need Yah and He is perfect and He's the one that's going to guide me. The first step of starting to have this level of intimacy. And then when the Father can start pouring in you, then you can start receiving. And this is how the faith in you starts to get built up. Because you're trusting what this individual who is a father is saying to you and showing you. And he may be using an individual to get it to you. Hallelujah. And once you can get there at this point, right? Once you can get to that point of trust. Because I'm telling you, in this world, that's a big thing to get past. Most of you have been so scarred and so jacked up and so abused and mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally that you can't even fathom trusting the Most High. Now you say, oh, I trust Yah. No, you don't. Because that same Yah you say you trust will send an individual, a man, to lead and guide you in this word. But then you will question every single move that that individual makes. When all that individual is doing is trying to show you through their lifestyle how to follow and chase after Yah, how to get closer to Yah. Now, those of you that are married, you kind of know what I'm talking about a little bit because that's what most of you seek in your marriage. You want to get closer to your spouse. You want to understand them on a deeper, greater level. You want to get to a point where your level of understanding doesn't take any words. They can move a certain way or make a certain sound or look a certain way, and you fully understand what it means. I'm going to cry. I need a hug. Kiss me. You see what I'm saying? Without words even being spoken. This is the level of intimacy you're trying to get to with the Father. Because this is the level of intimacy where you can get into this Psalm 91 zone, where you can be protected by the Most High Yah. You can be hidden in the secret place of the Most High Yah. But it starts with humility. You have to be humble. You hear me? You have to be humble. And in that humility, you're so vulnerable. Everything about you becomes transparent. See, I talk and counsel with people all the time, right? Y'all stay with me here. I talk and counsel to people daily, all the time, right? And I mourn. I literally mourn in my heart because I see people trying to use the American way that they've been trained and taught of how to forgive or repent. And it's really not true biblical repentance. See, it is impossible for an individual to repentance. True repentance means to turn from and never go back to. Right? So you're at point A. You turn and go to point B, and guess what? You never get back to point A. You become that new person here, and you keep moving to C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. You never go back to A again. That's true repentance. And I see my brothers and my sisters come and they say with their mouths, I want to be forgiven. I want to repent. I want this. I want to forgive. I want to trust again and all that. But it's more lip service than actual action because they can't see or refuse to see the error in them. So in turn, they can't acknowledge verbally or in their hearts that there is a true issue. So it's impossible to repent. Can't do that. You're not going to get to a place of intimacy with the Father because he's not going to have no part of sin. He's not. So a lot of you X yourself out because you have things in your life that you know are not fruitful. They benefit you none. And when the opportunity comes for your heart to be turned away from that evil thing because you're so comfortable with it, you protect it. You come up with these abstract words. You insulate your demons. You come with all the excuses in the world. You enable this level of sin to stay in your life. You justify your actions and your deeds. So I mourn inside because I'm like, this person will never get to this place of vulnerability, this place of humility and trust because they refuse to see their sin. They have no faith. They have no trust. They definitely don't have no biblical understanding. But they'll come and they'll say, you're my elder, or you're my pastor, or you're my deacon, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my husband, you're my wife. So I trust and I value what you say. But the actions that come forth after you get the instruction from them is totally opposite. And you wonder why you stay at that same place. And you don't move forward. You actually get worse. Process of not admitting guilt and not being able to confess with your mouth and from your heart that this is evil and this is wrong, it's impossible for you to ever turn from it. And it's a huge, huge block here in this ministry, in your personal individual life. But with your mouth, you clamor and say, I want intimacy. I want to be close. I want to be close. I mean, I'm going to take it down to like a really basic level so that just in case some of you have children listening, they'll be able to understand. I talk to folk all the time and say, who do you truly trust in? Is a system of order that Yah has set up. If you're a wife, can you truly trust your husband? If you're a husband, does your wife, can you safely trust in her? Can the children look to the parents and say, I trust them because they have shown me that they have my best interest at heart, even if it comes down to me getting the rod? That is an action and a behavior of love. They're doing that because they want me to be corrected and walk in the right vein of the Most High. But some of us will hold back discipline. We'll hold back correction. We'll hold back rebuke. We'll hold back the rod. So we enable these bad behaviors. And then we wonder why the people don't change. I know it seems like I'm here and I'm there. I'm actually in the same spot if y'all really trying to follow me. These are tangible examples that we go through of the things that block us and stop us from this intimacy we claim we truly desire with the Father. See, it's not what you do in Shabbat services. It's not what you do when you show up for the set-apart feast days. It's what you do when there is no eyes on you except the eyes of the Most High. When he and he alone is the only one there. And in your mind, because you have respect of men, you say, oh, well, elder can't see this, or my husband can't see this, or my child or my mom or dad, you see what I'm saying, can't see this. They don't have a heaven and hell to put you in. But you say to yourself, I can be this individual or do these types of things because there are no natural eyes on me. But what about the eyes of the Most High? What about the love and the heart and the spirit of the Most High? That everything about him desires you for peace and desires you for love. And he wants to become one with you. But he's not going to have no unclean thing before him. But then when you get around us, the people that you claim you love, now the front show goes on. Now I'm spiritual. Now I'm holy. Now I want to be received as this righteous vessel, even though inside I'm just waiting on an opportunity to have the privacy to go do the filth and the dirt that I know is against him. And instead of in my humble time, in my submitted time to Yah, where I claim I want to get close to him, instead of admitting those things verbally out to him, we sugarcoat it. Yah, you know I got issues. Yeah, he does, but he wants you to tell him exactly what those issues are. Important for you to verbalize them, because you were made in the image and the likeness of the Most High Yah. Is that not what he said? Did he not speak every single thing that you can see with your eyes into existence? He wants you and him to be on the same page. And he wants to put the devil on notice that y'all are unified in this level of repentance. See, you sugarcoating and you hiding and you faking the funk, but in the private time not doing what you're supposed to do, you're only hurting yourself, and you're not getting closer to the Father. See, a lot of people want you to believe there's this in-between place where you can straddle a fence. I'm here to tell you flat out, there is no fence. There's no fence naturally. There's no fence spiritually. There's no fence mentally. There's no fence emotionally. You are either running from the Father or pushing closer to him. That's it. And because we willfully won't acknowledge and repent with our hearts and mouths, and we won't humble ourselves, we never develop the type of spirit that is necessary to press toward the mark like we've been, and the prize of the high calling. We don't develop that spirit. There's no level of vulnerability there. There's no level of trust. See, these babies, they got to trust us. If we're holding them in our hands, they got to trust. We're not going to drop them. If they feel a pain inside, that they're hungry and they cry out, they got to trust that we're going to feed them. This is the same level when he said, come to me as a little child. We have to trust the Most High that whatever it is we need, he is the sole source and provider of that. Now, he can choose to get it to us any way he wants, but it's coming from him. You're never getting that level of intimacy unless you can get on your face, confess the wickedness that you, as Pastor was talking about this yesterday, y'all, how ugly his conversion was. And guess what? I'd second him in that. My conversion was not beautiful. It was painful as all get out. And I remember when I received the Holy Spirit, I literally held my hands up so long that they locked. And I couldn't move them. And I had to, because I was afraid. His spirit was so strong in my house. Just me and him in my living room. And I was on my hands and I was on my knees. And when I reached up to Yah and raised up my hands, I remembered a passage I read in the book about how in battle the saints had to hold up Moses' hands. And as long as his hands was being held up, Israel was winning. And I remembered that passage, and I said, I'm not letting my hands down because I'm winning, y'all. And when he filled me with his Holy Spirit, I didn't ever want his presence. I didn't ever want it to leave. So I refused. I literally refused to put my hands down. And he filled me with his Spirit, and I started speaking in tongues for hours. And when I was done, I was laid out on the ground. My hands were still raised because I couldn't move them. They literally were locked. And I had to cry out to the Father to help me move. And I ain't gonna lie, I was super sore. All of it was done. But my heart was so heavy. Because in that process of crying out to him, it was like he was showing me all the times that I ignored him. He was showing me all the times that I chose to do evil, even though I knew to do right. He was showing me. And I was disgusted. I was 100% disgusted. And at the same time, I was grateful because I knew this is a whole nother level. And even though it's painful physically, emotionally, spiritually, I'm hurting because I'm a piece of crap. I'm like, I am worse than that menstrual rag. Woo! I felt good because I knew I was going to a whole nother place with Yah that I could never return from. So not only am I not returning from it, I'm pressing for higher levels of this with him, higher levels of intimacy where his word and the things he says and does spiritually for me just minister to me. And it brings encouragement. It brings peace. It brings this unprecedented joy that comes from loving him and trusting 100% in him. So I keep pressing and I keep spending time and I keep confessing who I am, what I am, and why I am. Pastor did, y'all got to go back and listen to the message yesterday. He did a masterful job of breaking this down, y'all. When he went to the portions about Paul, then he had teaching them reading about the portions of Paul between the spirit man and the natural man. Yeah, you're going to be a natural man, but let the spirit man in you rule. And he wasn't making no excuses saying, okay, I realize that's the flesh. It ain't me doing that. That's the flesh. But do you think he did what the Americans do and the Europeans and all these folk do? When they say it, they say that's the flesh, so it gives them a pass to keep walking in the flesh. No, he came right back and said, no, walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. And this is the constant battle mentally and the constant grind mentally that you are going to have to go through. But it has to be accompanied with levels of humility. And it has to be accompanied with levels of trust and belief that what this book is saying is true. You have to totally surrender your spirit, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul to Yah. Without that, you're not going to achieve that level of intimacy that you claim you desire. I watch Israel close. I know those that are offering up lip service to the Most High. And I know those that are putting everything on the line to show Yah it's you or nothing. And it's amazing how fast those individuals that all they want is Yah and they don't think about anything else. They don't have any other selfish motives and pride and none of that stuff. It's amazing how Yah trusts, and they grow so fast. And then we have people that have been around for years and decades, and you're like, what? Why are they not growing? What's going on with them? Why are they still pretty much where they were 10 years ago? They're not intimate with Yah. They're not being transparent in who they are and what they are as they walk around this wicked earth that's being purged. It's going to be purged by fire, just in case you forgot. So I don't know what we're trying to hold on to. I don't know. What is it that we're trying to hold on to? Everything you see with your eyes, it's temporary. Everything. If you can physically see it, it's temporal. So why put roots in it? Why secure your anchor in something that has no eternal meaning for you? Why not trust and believe through your submission and your humility? You have to humble yourself. Y'all remember, we sing this song all the time, humble ourselves in the sight of Yah. I remember when we first came to this ministry, that's all we sang every Shabbat for like 2 years. Every week we sang it. And I'm like, wow, Yah is really trying to get us to humble ourselves, and we're just ignoring him. We're just ignoring him. And we praising and dancing and jumping around. As soon as service over, we ready to cuss one of our brothers and sisters out. We ready to treat them like an outsider. We ain't got no brotherly love and no tender heartness towards each other. I'm like, look at this. And he slowly, slowly got rid of some of the tares, pressed them out, and brought in more good wheat. See, Jesus made this thing extremely clear. People can say and act and do all that. They can do all that. But even if you don't believe anything that I'm saying, he said, judge me by my fruit. Watch the effect I have on people's lives, things I do, and give all the glory to my Father. Not to me, not for me to get a pat on the back, not for me to get some accolade and some plaque that I'm somebody special. Not for, oh, Pastor Dowell and Elder Rufus and Elder Becker, they see me. No, Yah see you first and foremost with your wicked tail. If you want this level of intimacy, and I'm speaking to a lot of you brothers and sisters, but the brothers were really reaching out, trying to get a greater level of understanding. And I don't know how to explain it any better. I don't. If you can't get it on this level, it may have to be something that Pastor Dollar, Elder Becker, one of the other elders, one of the other pastors, somebody may break it down better. But it takes this total surrendering to Yah. And in doing that, you have to trust that he has your best interest at heart. And everything that you need while you're crying out to him, because it'll be revealed, he is the one that's going to provide you with that. The structure, the order, the discipline, the support, the love, all of it's going to be taken care of by him. And then if you're blessed to be filled with his Holy Spirit, then you need to learn how to stir up that gift. Keep praying in the Holy Spirit. See, that's a perfect communication that your spirit has with the Most High. Remember he said, I know what you got need of before you even ask me. See, that spirit you have, he gave it to you. So when you praying in tongues, it knows what to ask for, because you in your flesh, you don't know. And being that the Father is the only one that can understand them utterings coming from you, he knows exactly what to send back. Don't it make sense? Y'all remember the Tower of Babel, right? When the languages got all confused, all the languages and the confusion, all that. Y'all remember all that, right? Right? Don't y'all know the devil know all those languages? He knows every single language under the sun except tongues. Yeah. So now here it is, you in this war where the devil's trying to jack your mind, right? He's trying to jack your mind up. and you send in perfect communication right in front of him to the Father, from your spirit to the Father, your spirit to the Father, your spirit to the Father. And the Father sending back and ministering back encouragement and strength right back to you. You don't even know how this is taking place. But you don't know weapon formed against you going to prosper in the midst of it. You know that. You see that and you understand that. And guess who else understands it? Devil. And he's confused saying, what the hell? How is she doing this now? How is he getting at this? What in the world? I had him. I had her. Not no more, you wicked piece of crap. This is where the levels of trust have to come in, saints. You have to believe the things you're doing are for Yah and his glory alone. See, you ain't going to get any glory from this. The glory you receive is what your Father shined down on you. It's for him. It's his triumph. Him and the devil have a battle going on right now. It's really not no battle, though. The devil think it is, but it's really not. But the devil wants you to believe that they're fighting for your worship. Yah is just worthy of it because he's perfect. He's Yah. And the devil will take it any way he can get it. And he knows that as long as you're not willingly giving that level of worship to Yah, that you're automatically giving it to him. See, he knows there's no fence spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. Ain't no fence. He wants you to keep thinking this one. He wants you to keep thinking, yeah, I got one foot with Yah. I'm going to get over. I'm going to tip on that side one day. No. Yah said clearly, either you are with me or you are against me. And folk like to believe that, I'm working out my salvation. No, you're not. Because I don't see no fearing and I don't see no trembling. Those two have to accompany you if you are truly working out your salvation. There should be a reverent fear of the Most High Yah, of his righteous judgments going forth for you. For you. That's what comes with it. That's being intimate. Remember that fear some of you had when your father came home from work and you knew you had been jacked up and disobedient to mom and you knew you was finna get it. You knew he was finna tell you a new one, boy. Remember that fear? Remember the fear of just waiting. Just sitting there not knowing when he coming through that door. And you hear the car pull up in the driveway, in the garage, and the fear intensifies, like, oh, shoot, I think that's Dad. And then you hear your older brother, he just got back home from football practice, and you're like, man, oh, boy, they ain't pops. Oh, then you hear another car pull up, or you hear the door open, and you're like, oh, man, oh, you're finna kill me. That's pops coming in. For some of you, it was your mother. For some of you, it was your grandmother. You fill in the blank. Remember that fear. And then they in front of you. And their presence is towering. Some of you could have had parents that were 4'11". Boy, they were the scariest people you ever seen in your life, though. Especially when you was in trouble. But wasn't it amazing? Pain of correction was only temporary. But the love that individual had for you never waned, never wavered. See, as a young child, my mom, she raised 6 boys, no sisters, y'all, 6 boys, and we were rough with it, I will have to admit. If we could pick it up, we'd throw it. If it looked edible, we'd eat it. If it wasn't ours today, it was ours the next day, if you know what I mean. We put mom through it, y'all. But I remember how she made it a point to not raise us a certain way because society was going a certain way, taking the masculinity from men and making them soft and walking around hearing their feelings and their emotions, right? Mom was like, uh-uh, I ain't raising no punks. Y'all going to have honor. Y'all going to have respect. But you're not going to be pushovers for this world. And I remember when Mom would discipline us, she would whoop us. The rod, the belt, the extension cord, the racetrack, whatever she could grab. She hit you with it, right? And it corrected the behavior. And the pain was intense. But it was only temporary. And I remember my mom talking to me, and I remember her trying to explain to me how much it hurt her every single time she had to correct us and whoop us. And I remember my older brother, the oldest one. I was the baby for a long time, 9 years. So I was the one, what do you call it, knee baby, next to last, whatever. But I remember my older brother saying to me, y'all don't know how you hurt Mom when you're doing this stuff. And I'm sitting there like, man, she is doling out lethal punishment. What are you talking about? This is child abuse, you know, in my mind back then. That's how I felt like, whoa, this woman, we could call CPS and have her locked up. But now that I'm a parent, and I have grown children of my own, and I have young children, I know exactly what she's talking about. And honestly, Saints, as being your elder, it ain't no different because we have to sit in the seat of righteous judges here in Israel. We have an ecclesiastical council, and some of you have come before us. Some of you come before us in council. Some of you come before us in council and judgment. And I'm telling you, doling out that punishment, it hurts everything inside of me. I remember because so far I've been blessed and I've only raised daughters, right? Haven't had a son yet, I should say, because we have one on the way. Hallelujah. For those that didn't know, I know I put it out there, but for those that didn't know, Elder Rufus has a child on the way. So we'll know here in a few months if it's a girl or a boy, right? But so far, I haven't had the privilege of raising my own boy. Now, I raise other people's boys, but I haven't raised my own son yet. Hallelujah. But in the process of raising girls, it's the worst feeling in the world to have to put them over the bed or over the chair and discipline them physically. I actually like the relationship that me and my 9-year-old daughter, Mariah, that we have because I probably whooped her more than this, but I remember having to get her one really good time, y'all. You know, y'all know that time when they're young and you beat that spirit right up out of them. It was one of them moments. And now, because the level of, and she was young, 2-3 years old, something like that. But now, the level of honor and the level of respect, but also the level of fear. See, reverent fear, listen to me close. Listen to me real close, y'all. Listen to me close. Reverent fear comes. Reverent, y'all listen to me? Hold on, I make sure y'all listen to me. I got a few of y'all in the chat room. If you listening to me, then this will be a sound check as well. Type the number 10 in. I want to make sure we got people listening. The number 10 in, if you listening to me. I got a few folk listening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. We listen. Praise y'all. If you got this level of reverent fear, it actually comes with a desire to please. Have reverent fear for something without a desire to please that something. And I know this is simple, but it's really deep when you really process it. Because a lot of people in Israel, a lot of our brothers and sisters, will project themselves of having this fear. But there's no desire to please. See, Jesus had a reverent fear of the Father while he was here in earthly form. Only desire while he was here was to do the will of his Father, to please his Father. That doesn't change. And I was talking about the relationship I have with my daughter Mariah. She's 9, about to be 10 this year. And after that one good thrashing of literally beating that spirit out of her, I see it now. I don't have to ask her. Her mother gets her a lot more than I do now. I don't have to. But when me and her, it's a look. And I see that reverence, and I see that fear on her face. And I also see the disappointment in her eyes when she knows that she hasn't pleased her Father. Dealing with the saints, being in council with them, having to be in seats of judgment with them, that desire to please is missing. So I have to ask the question, where is the fear of Yah? Where is it? Where is the fear of Yah? And when you don't have that, now what you have is a life that's being lived blasphemously. All right, let's go to Matthew. Chapter 12, verse 31. Hallelujah. Because see, now we transition in saints. We've been talking about this intimacy and what it takes to get to this level. And another thing that the saints have been bringing up, I've had multiple questions because, again, you have heard Pastor Dow speak recently, saints living blasphemously. And I think it's brought about an awareness. And saints are like, wow, well, in their minds, they think, well, this person has been blasphemous. Can they come back? And what can we do? And blah, blah, blah. So the questions have started to arise about blasphemy and what it really is. And the book is very clear. The book explains itself thoroughly. How you can be in this faith, but still be living blasphemously towards Yah. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Matthew 12. We're going to read 31 and 32. And the book says, wherefore, this is Jesus talking, y'all. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. Verse 32, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. So in verse 32, it's explaining to you what blasphemy is. I'll read it again. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or neither in the world to come. So do you see the distinction here in verse 32? It starts off by talking about you being blasphemous towards the one that has sacrificed himself for you. He's given his blood and he's come down and he's died so your sins can be forgiven. You can say blasphemous things against him with your mouth. And see, We know that the things that come out of your mouth is the things that's already within your heart. So you could have Christ's statements in your heart towards the Messiah, the Son of Man. Hallelujah. And he says, that will be forgiven. Why? Even on the tree, did he not say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, he showed you an example of what he said right here. But when you, these same words against the spirit that is holy, when you can speak evil against the workings of the Holy Spirit, that is not going to be forgiven. Not today, not on this wicked, perverse, and jacked up earth and world, and in the latter world to come. It'll never be forgiven. So I think people had been confused thinking that any time you were, quote unquote, blaspheming, it was always against the Holy Spirit, and how could it be forgiven? The text is clearly showing you, the Messiah is telling you flat out, you can have this crap in your heart towards me because you don't know what you're doing. That can be forgiven. But to do it against the Holy Spirit, the one I promised you I was going to send to lead and guide you to all of my truth, that I was going to send to comfort you. That, speak against that, you're done. It's over. You're finished. Forget it. So the saints will say, how do we avoid this? How do we avoid living blasphemous? Well, I can tell you now that if you surrender yourself and you humble yourself and you cry out to the Almighty Yahweh with everything in you, you'll enter into this intimacy that you claim to want so, so much. And he will fill you with his Holy Spirit. And you will have the evidence of that by speaking in tongues. And as you're stirring up that gift, you will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and get greater insight and greater understanding and greater wisdom and greater knowledge as you move forward. And the greater you gain in these things, the more you will acknowledge him and him alone, because you know exactly the source and where it is coming from. But a blasphemous man, and that is in the plural sense, man or woman, whatever you want to call it, you know what I mean? Both. But a blasphemous saint, you will go out and you will live a life of wickedness in the name of Jesus Christ. Folks say, well, how am I doing? No. You're presenting yourself as a servant of the Most High, but you live in foul. You speak in foul. You're speaking words of hurt and pain, manipulation, coercion, right? All the while presenting yourself to be this man or woman of Yah, knowing that your lifestyle doesn't line up with the testimony of your wicked lips. That is living blasphemous. You are blaspheming the name of the Son. Hallelujah. You're blaspheming his name. Now, he's telling you that can be forgiven of. But now when you start to do that same thing and attribute that or discount that, the workings of the Holy Spirit, that stuff is never going to be forgiven. Now, I've had people say to me, well, what if I was raised and taught a certain way and I might have said some things against the Holy Spirit? Yah knows the inner workings of what's going on. All of us have said things out of our mouths because it's been put in us and we've said it through ignorance. Paul himself did damage to Israelites out of ignorance. He conspired and set up and murdered his people, and he was forgiven. But he was given a great task. So I personally believe things that were brought to us in ignorance, and we might have spoke or said in ignorance and had no clue of what we were really truly doing, you're going to get your opportunity to repent and turn from it. Because, see, you're not going to be this type of individual that come and receive the knowledge of this truth and take on this banner of being a child of the living Yah, right? Accept the things that the Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, that he did for us on that tree. Take the blood, right? Then go, cry out for his spirit. He gives it to you, right? He gives you his spirit. You speaking in tongues, you functioning like that, and then turn your back on that. Come, and I'm giving you kind of trying to get like a tangible something. Folk come and, man, what happened? What do you mean? You were in the church. You were speaking in tongues. Bob, my man, that stuff, that wasn't real, man. That stuff. Be careful. Be careful. The book clearly talks about how they go out from us because they were never truly with us. They go out from amongst us because they were never truly with us. So from this one text alone, you can see how you can be speaking words against the Son of Man. You'll be forgiven for that, possibly. Because I don't want you to get in this Christian mode. Oh, well, I said I'm forgiven, but I'm good. No, you're not. You got work to do. You have a chance to be forgiven because repentance needs to be walked out. True repentance means to turn from this thing and never go back to that again. So don't think you can just keep speaking these ill words against the Son of Man. And in the end, well, I'll just be forgiven. Don't be retarded. We are at the age of understanding. You are. You listening to me, you hear what I'm saying, you accountable. There's no more ignorance going on when you show up here at a block talk on a Sunday, what the world calls Sunday evening. Ain't no more ignorance. You ain't hiding behind no ignorance now. But clearly and quickly see the difference. And such are some of you. Such are some of you. And I think it will really behoove us and it will really benefit and help us. Every single word that came from the pulpit, from the videos, from the Block Talk radios, all that, all these things we have for you, right? If you took every single bit of it and said, where am I in that, Yah? How does this apply to me? That is me. He's talking to me. Let Yah tell you, no, you good. There's been plenty of times where I said, oh, man, I got to get this figured out. And Yah said, get up. You good. That ain't where you at. But I appreciate you submitting yourself to make sure. It should always be a revolving door of self-check. Now I'm back to the intimacy, y'all. I told you we're going to intertwine it. This is just how y'all gave it to me to talk about. Questions on intimacy, I had questions on blasphemy and provocations and all this kind of stuff. This is the way he told me to deliver it. I'm hoping it's reaching some. Hallelujah. So this is the state we need to be in. Let's not live any kind of lifestyle that's just blasphemous towards the Son of Man. Be real with yourself and foremost. You cannot honor me as your elder, as your brother, as your friend,
if you poo-poo and pee-pee on the tree that gave you the opportunity for your sins to be forgiven. You can't say you love me, Pastor Dow, Elder Becker, Pastor Corey, I'm just naming the same, you know. But you cannot follow these basic instructions in the scriptures. It's not possible. And then Yah has eliminated all your excuses because he brought you the straight way. And straight way is the premier deliverance ministry in this world. I don't know any greater. I don't. I'm not saying there isn't any greater out there. Yah just hadn't exposed it to us. So when you have that at your disposal, and all you got to do is press just a little bit. You may have to press and drive 6 hours. You may have to press and save your pennies and get on a flight. I remember Pastor saying years ago, desperate people get deliverance. That means totally set free, not for these spirits to come back and torment you again. Desperate people get that. And I look out, just like I look out at my daughter, and I see that reverent fear, also see that desire for her to please me. Some of you, there's no fear. There's no desire to please Yah. None. But we'll fix our lips to say, this is where I want to be. I want to be intimate. No, you don't. It takes sacrifice. It takes vulnerability. It takes transparency. And it has to be committed to those things. All times. Saints have heard me say all the time, y'all, put my sin on a billboard, especially if I can't see it. I would rather be shamed in front of all of Israel and my soul be saved than my sin be hidden from the eyes of Yah. And on the day of judgment, I have to be judged. If my eyes are blind, put them out there so everybody else can see it. If my ears are dull of hearing, put it out there so everybody else can hear it. Shame me. Shame me back to this faith. But you got to really mean that. Oh, and I've had some shameful moments. I'm talking about in the faith before coming the straight way, because I was in the faith before straight way, right? I was serving the Most High Yah, keeping his feast days, Sabbaths, all that stuff before I knew Pastor Dow. But I've had those moments then. I've had those moments while I've been in this ministry. I've had moments in this ministry where I didn't know if I was even going to be accepted in the ministry anymore as an elder. But the Bible said a righteous man loves judgment. And I would have embraced that judgment because I know it would have been righteous and it would have come from Yah. Would it have hurt like hell? Yes. But I wasn't going to duck it. I wasn't going to run from it. And I still would have chased Yah all of my days. I would have chased him all of my days. One mistake. See, I know what it says there in Matthew, what I just read. That would have been against the Son of Man. I can be forgiven for that. You got to be vested in this word. Do you not understand that Jesus can come in many different forms? The Bible says he is spirit. Read it carefully. Is spirit. He can be and do and say and act and form anything he wants. So when he decides to take his spirit in his form and put it in a book for his people to read, you got to understand when you're reading that, it's him. Some of you know this is why you have much more of effect when you actually pick up a Bible and read it than you do reading it on your phone and your computer. Some of you may need to try it. Some of you may need to try it. pick up your Bible, open it, and actually read it. Man, I love you enough to tell you the truth. I really do. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Ever expect to live this life of intimacy with the Father, where we're gaining and getting closer and closer to Him, if we out here living a blasphemous lifestyle, knowing that we're doing things that is against the Son of Man? Don't hide behind the fact that He said He can forgive you for that. Have enough reverence and enough fear and enough desire to please Him and do the things that bring life. Every good thing comes from above, and it brings life eternally past what you see with your carnal earthly eyes. That'll go away. Can you not see your hands? Can you not see your wrists, your forearms? Well, some of you probably can't see your elbows, but hey, can you not see your feet? That means it's going to go away. It's going back where it came from. You are a spirit that have a soul and live in a body. Your body going back where it came from, the dirt. Who gave you that? Don't the book tell you the Most High breathe that into you? He getting it back. So your will, your mind, your intellect, your emotion, which consists of your soul, that is what needs to be saved. That needs to be in line with Jesus in written form called the Bible, the book, the pages, the law, the Torah. I don't care what you call it. You better get it in your heart. You better have it in those inner parts. It better be your will. It better be your mind. It better consume your emotions for your soul to get saved. And He loves you so much that while He was given the greatest offering that could ever be given, no offering will ever match it, He still said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't. Thanks. Let's take a quick break. All right. Let y'all meditate on that for a minute. Give me a chance to just take a quick little break here. I think I got the right one. I'm going to try to use the mailing address. It may, hopefully it ain't the wrong one. If it is, Brother Ugly, please put the correct information inside the chat room. If it is the wrong one, the new mailing. Okay, that's what she told me. Mailing. Okay, I better find the new mailing, y'all. Okay. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, because the one I said, oh, there we go. There we go. I didn't go down far enough, y'all. I'm glad she came in here and helped a brother out. All right, this is the information for those of you that love this ministry and you need the information on how to support through your letters, through your gifts, through your offerings, whatever it may be. This is the information you need, and we'll be right back. Hold on, saints. Can y'all hear the can you hear it? Because I'm not hearing anything on my end. Excellent broadcast. Okay, I need somebody to tell me if they can hear the new ministry break, the information that is being said. Can you hear it, or do you just hear me? It said it's going, but I need them to confirm it. They can't hear it. Okay. All right. We're going to stop that. And, all right, I wanted to make sure. It's spinning on our end, but it's not. Does this need to go up here? That's what it is. Maybe it was down low, y'all. Let's try this again. All right. Hold on.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us, in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell, Jr. That's Charles Dowell, Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom. The King is coming.
All right, saints. Welcome back. You're on Blog Talk Radio here with Elder Rufus from the Straightway Truth Ministry. You're on the broadcast. If you have questions, the book has answers. I do apologize. That was not the current mailing information. That was not the current mailing information. So I don't know which one is. So, because I just thought about it, you know, I know I have Brother Ugly. For those of you that are in the chat room, you can see that information. And it's Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West, number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. I'm doing this for those because we got a lot of people that are in the caller that are in the phone, so they can't see what's going on probably in the chat room. So I wanted them to have that information too. So I'm going to read it one more time, all right? And if you're interested, you can have that information. It's called Straightway Truth Ministry. And we spell Straightway, S-T-R-A-I-T-W-A-Y. Hallelujah. Straightway Truth Ministry, 641 Highway 52, Bypass West. Number 7, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. Hallelujah. And then we have a dining hall number. If you are interested in fellowship of any kind, anywhere in the world, call this number, 615-688-3025. Now, if you're outside the United States, you got to hit 1 first. All right? That's the country code 1. Hallelujah. 1-615-688-3025. I know a lot of people come on, they hear it, and they're like, man, I wish there was a Straightway Fellowship in my area. Well, you know what? It is. I already know it is. And some people can drive a half hour, and some people have to drive 5 or 6 hours. But it's one in your area. And again, don't forget what I said earlier. Desperate people get deliverance. Hallelujah. Here where I am at, my name is Elder Rufus, for those that don't know, and I'm here and I'm the head of Straightway Georgia. Hallelujah. We have several communities that are a part of this fellowship here. We have homesteads and assemblies, 4 different states come here for fellowship, So it's a true melting pot down here in Georgia. Now, this is the hub where I'm at, Straightway Georgia, but we have Straightway Georgia East down there with Brother Robert. He calls that the Rock. We also have Straightway Cleveland, which is in Tennessee, but it's about an hour and a half away from us. So the saints at the community Straightway Cleveland come here for now and fellowship with us. Y'all have been seeing and hearing about the new community, Straightway Alabama. And I like to call it Straightway Bama. I don't know why I like Bama better than Alabama, but the saints there, which you've seen the videos and things that we got going on. If you haven't, you can go to my channel, Straightway Georgia, Elder Rufus. That's my YouTube channel. Brother Ugly, if you don't mind, maybe type that in for the saints. Straightway Georgia, Elder Rufus. That is my YouTube channel. So you can go there and get updates of what we got going on in our new community, in our undisclosed location in Alabama. Hallelujah. So we have saints that come from South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia. And y'all seen the beautiful multi-purpose building that the Most High blessed us with. So it's been just such a godsend, and we've been getting it in there. I think yesterday we were at about 76 people. It ranges on a lower week about 50 to 55, on a high week about 80 to 85 guests. Of course, we like guest assemblies that have come, we'll dip well over 100 easily. And the Most High Yah just been faithful to be able to accommodate all of his saints. So it is out there for those of you that care and desire it. It is out there. Hallelujah. And if you want the information, if you want to be a part of this, if you want to be a part of this life-changing ministry, because that's what it is. This is a life-changing ministry. If you want to be a part of it, there's no reason why you can't. Hallelujah. There's no reason why you can't. So we had just beautiful things going on around here today. Of course, those of you that are on Sons of Jacob, you already know this, but we had brothers all over the place. Two or three different projects going on. Our main project is in Alabama, of course, building up that community. Today was putting in a septic tank day. Hallelujah. So that was the main thing. We had other things going on. We were remodeling a small travel trailer that was being done today. Of course, wiring the home, because we're totally remodeling the home that was already on that land. So there was some wiring being done today there. And then here on the land, the main thing we had a lot of stuff going on, but the main thing we had going on was our etiquette class. I had spoke with Mother Jennifer a little while ago, months ago, and told her that I wanted her to start doing an etiquette class for the Daughters of Zion. And we didn't want to overload Mother Jennifer. She has a lot going on. So right now we are doing it once a month for the Daughters of Zion. And it's just specializing in teaching and training the Daughters of Zion how to be true women and the things of maturity and just etiquette, how they should be as women. Because believe it or not, a lot of us wasn't taught this stuff, just how to be a woman. And it's amazing how this world is lacked and shortchanged a lot of the Daughters of Zion. But Yah is accommodating. So now we've been asked to be servants. You know how when you come to the feast, there's people that serve you now. You just come, you sit down, get your plate, and you got people that take your plate away, bring you water, drinks, all this kind of stuff, whatever you need. We have people that serve you all the time. And we've been asked, the women here at Straightway Georgia, to take over that for a minute full time, to where we're doing that at the feast. So we shifted parts of our etiquette training to make sure that the Daughters of Zion know how to serve the saints properly. So Mother Jennifer, of course, is working with Sister Ashley there from Straightway. And you know how pastor does this and how it needs to be done in Israel. You can't just have one person fully running everything. You got to teach others so that this load is not fully and all the time on Straightway and on Sister Ashley. that's where the Mother Jennifers can come in. And then I know there's been some offland sisters that have been getting trained in this. So just in case their day comes where Mother's not available or Ashley, or we'll still have it going, and we won't have to diminish the services that that need to be provided for you saints when you come to the Feast of the Most High. Yeah. Unfortunately, my sister, I see Sister Nanette Johnson. Bless you, my sister. I saw your message earlier on, I think it was sister to sister, because I have access to that. Thank you, sister. I received that. I'm very grateful for the blessings you've spoken over my house and my family. We receive it. It will not be recorded, though, unfortunately. I know you're probably asking about the etiquette training. It will not be recorded. So it will be for the sisters here. There are sisters that don't live here that have made themselves available. Like, they heard about it, and they were like, I want to come. So we've extended that to them, and they've traveled great distance. I mean, 4 or 5 hours to make sure they're here for those trainings. Now, we've only had two so far, all right? And the problem with us putting it out there for Israel, we have to kind of schedule it whenever we're available, y'all. There's been so much going on in Israel. We just don't know where we're going to be any given moment. When I say we, I'm talking about me and Mother Jennifer, because there's been a lot of things that we have been required to be at and do. So I don't want to put it out there and say we're going to do it this week, and I got saints from all over planning and trying to come, but then something happens, and you see what I'm saying? So we're keeping it local. We really are. And then, like I said, a few people that were here that heard it, they've availed themselves, and they've been faithful, so we're allowing them. But we want to get it, let's say it this way. We want to get it down here first before we make it something that we can put out there for all of Israel. We want to master it here first. Hallelujah. Because you know how this is, y'all. This thing is, we're learning it as we go. You know, the book is there, but we don't have the righteous examples that was before us. We don't. We don't have those people that was there before us to show us how to do it. So Pastor Dowler just took the bulls by the horn, and we're learning as we go. So there are mistakes that are being made, but they're being made in the right spirit, right? You know what I mean? And there are things that are going on, and we tweak in and we turn in, and you know, but because everything is to Yah, he's going to get glorified, and he can come in and correct what we're not doing right or what we may be misunderstanding, whatever the case may be. So when it comes to this etiquette class, I know it's something vital that the Daughters of Zion need. And hopefully, if it be the will of the Father, and I don't know this because I'm going to be honest with y'all, I haven't even spoken to Pastor Dowell about what I'm going to say to y'all right now. I haven't. But if it be the will of the Father, it may be something that we can add to the classes and things we do at feast days, possibly. Now, I know Mother Jennifer probably flipping over right now, but if it's Yah's will, she going to do it. You know what I'm saying? She ain't got no choice. She a willing servant, you know? But if it gets to that point, because that's the best way to get it to the masses. You see what I'm saying? And we keeping it really simple right now. We're keeping it to an hour so we don't stress out the saints, you know what I mean? An hour, hour and a half. I don't know what they went today. I got to be careful on saying that. It might have went a little longer than that today. But I know we're not trying to make it 3-4 hour sessions, you know what I mean? Because y'all know how it is. You know, like now, we've been on an hour and a half. I probably lost half of y'all already. I done talked too much. You know what I'm saying? You got to go back and really listen to this over and over again if you really want to get it. So we're really mindful of the time frame it takes to penetrate the hearts and minds of the saints and make it a bountiful meal for you. So it's possibly in the works, and if it be the Father's will, and then Pastor Dowell agrees, Mother Carol agrees, it may be something offered on that level, the feast going down the road. Not this, don't ask about it coming up for Passover and all of that. It'll be information we get to y'all, all right? So if we don't ever get back to y'all, that means the Most High didn't want it that way, and we just going to do it here in Georgia. Hallelujah, because I don't want people bombarding Mother Jennifer every feast. What an etiquette class. I don't want all that. She don't need all that. She got enough on her plate, y'all. I promise you. She's got enough on her plate. Saints, I hope that what the Most High shared with us today was able to touch our hearts and give us a greater understanding of what it takes to have this real, true intimacy with the Most High. How to utilize
the blessings and the gifts that he has given us through the Holy Spirit, right? So that we don't live this blasphemous lifestyle that some of us are concerned about because we're seeing that type of spirit trying to rise up in Israel, right? So I hope we were able to put this together in a manner that can be useful for you. You're going to have to, really, I'm telling you, because y'all had it, so you're going to have to go over this again. If you really had some nuggets in here that really bless you, you're going to have to go back and listen to this later and over again a few times to really get the essence of what Yah is saying, because I guarantee you missed some stuff. I guarantee it. I'm going to have to go back over again and say, man, Most High said that? Wow, hallelujah. You know? So, but I hope that it was a blessing. For those of you that have blessed us in the chat, thank you. I appreciate your presence here. Those of you that blessed us over here on the phone calls, thank you, guys. I appreciate you being with us. I know the heathens got a lot of stuff going on today that could easily distract a lot of you. But it's nothing like that I call stuff like this that upper room experience. You know what I mean? The world don't get you distracted, and you show up, and you just don't know what y'all going to do. You just don't know. But because you're present, you get the benefit, and you get blessed from it. Hallelujah. So what I'll do here for the next few minutes, if you want, if there's any questions in the chat room that I can see, I will do my best to answer them if I have an answer. And if it's something that I need to spend more time with the Father on before answering, I'll tell you that, and then it'll be when I come back up in 4 or 5 weeks on my rotation. Hallelujah. But if there's anybody in the chat that has any questions, you're free to type them in there now. And brothers, I know some of you brothers sent me, go ahead, Mike, whatever that is, Mike Flem 29, if you got a question, go ahead and ask it. I know a lot of you brothers, or some of you brothers sent me some questions. I'm going to touch on, it was a couple questions that were asked. I didn't feel like they need to be in part of this broadcast, so we're going to put in the next one. But I'm going to send you a personal message telling you to remind me when my time comes back up. Hallelujah. So glory to the King. But I didn't forget you. I didn't want you to think, man, I sent that to the elder. He didn't. No. It was just, this is the manner that y'all wanted us to go today, that your questions will get there. Hallelujah. Could you please give an email address to contact you? Brother Ugly, do you know my email address that's on the website? I apologize, y'all. You go to the website, straightwaytruth.com. I think there's an email on there to contact community heads. And you have to go to the website. I'm sorry, I apologize. I shouldn't know that email. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't. But I know there's one there, and I do receive, though. There it is, georgia@straightway.com. Thank you, Brother Ugly. Man. Ooh, what would we do without y'all brothers up there in Canada? Y'all be on it, man. Hallelujah. Yes, I'll remember it moving forward. georgia@straightway.com. You can send me an email there, and I'll get that. This says, I understand the leaders try to get in one mind with pastor. Has there ever been some instance where you might have some trouble agreeing on certain topics? No. And how do you overcome those obstacles to get in one mind? Now, there's, Brother Mike, good question. There's never been any disagreement with leadership because it always lines up with the book. So you may not agree with what one person's saying, but if that's your situation, you have to back that with the book. It can't just be, well, I think this or I thought that. Well, you would have to say, well, this is what the book says. Is my understanding off on what they're saying or what's going on here? But really, because all we care about is the book, when we have to come together for leadership things and judgment councils and all these type of things, I can't think of one time where we've just been sitting there deliberating back and forth, man, we can't get this, because it's not like the world where majority rules. We have to have 100% agreement for judgment to go forward. I don't know if some of you saints know that. This ain't like the world and, you know, you get 9 judges and as long as you get 5 votes, no. Every single person that is called to sit in on that judgment has to be 100% in agreement.
And if it doesn't happen, there's no judgment that goes forward. And every single time I've been in those situations, judgment has gone forward. We have been 100% in agreement. And it's all just lined up with the book. Hallelujah. So good question. Good question. Let's see. Spirit of fear. I've been hammering it since you gave me understanding it a while ago. Can you expound on it if I'm making sense? If you just want me to expound on the spirit of fear. Yah has not given you that spirit. He gave you a spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. I don't know, is that what you asking? yeah, the book definitely don't lie. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Or rather make sure, hold on, I missed something here. How do you, getting back in the mindset of a child? Good question. There's a question here. I think this is from my beloved sister out there with my beloved brother Gideon. It says, how do you practice getting back into the mindset of a child? And then it says, or rather make sure you're holding yourself accountable when there's no one watching except Yah. Very good question. This is where you get to exercise the levels of discipline that Yah is putting in us. Because to humble yourself as a child means that you have to take the approach that person is the one that you need. You see what I'm saying? Like, we submit ourselves, if you're a wife, to your husband. And us husbands, we're wives first and foremost too, because we're wives to the Most High. So we have to submit ourselves to him and trust him to give us the instruction that we need. The problem that a lot of times people have is you can't take on that position of humility when you think you know something. So, like, example, I'm going and I'm submitting myself to Pastor Dow, right? And then I ask him a question, but inside my mind, I think I really already know the answer. Do you know I'm kind of behind the eight ball right there? Because what happens when I go in with that kind of mindset and Pastor says something totally different? Now I'm questioning, like, well, where'd you get that from? And why'd he say that? Because it don't match what I had in my mind. So when I go to Pastor Dow, right, if it's something I just didn't understand, I don't need to go to Pastor Dow. I just do it in the name of the Most High. But when I go to him, I have the mindset that I don't know, and he does, and I have to get the answer from him. So when I submit myself that way, guess what I don't do? I don't go back behind and say, well, you know, what he said, it don't really make sense to me, so what I thought in the beginning, I'm going to go with that. That ain't how it works. If I get to him and I say to him, I need your help in this area, I don't move in that area until he gives me the help I need. Now, there's times where he says, look, you got to press. You go back and you get it. Guess what I do? I go back and I get it. But I'm committed to follow the instruction of the one that I'm submitting myself to. So that applies to anybody. If you're a child, submitting to your parents. If you're a wife, submitting to your husband. If you're a husband, submitting to Yah. You have to be submitted. And if you're truly submitted, that means you want their answer and not their answer fit what you think it should be. I hope that makes sense. And then the way you just hold yourself accountable, I think I kind of mentioned it a little bit. Anytime the word is going forward and there's a thought there, that's me. See, that's how I take it. Triggers me and it hits me. I say it's me. It may be the furthest thing from me, but I still go to the Father and says, is this me? I do this, don't I? And he'd be like, no, you don't do this. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Or he may say, yes, that's you. He was speaking to you. And then show me where I'm off. But when I go to the Father, it's not this fake humility. I'm really going like, Father, I don't have an understanding here, but I think I could be jacked up in this area. And I don't want to be. So I'm like totally open to hear what the Spirit is going to say to me. I never go with preconceived notions of what it is. I go like a child. A child come, Mom, I'm hungry. They expect you to feed them. They don't have any other preset notions that, you know what, if Mom don't feed me, I'm going to climb up there and get my own food. When they cry, they expect you to feed them. You see what I'm saying? Hopefully that makes sense. I hope I answered your questions good. Glory to the King. Those are some good questions. That explains my difficulties at times searching for answers. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Now, see,
I'm glad you said that, sis, because be led of the Spirit, y'all. Ask the Father. I don't know how many times I've been in that book, and I will be going over, like, what I call the basics. Just, you got your favorite stuff. You got your favorite ones you like to read that you gravitate to, that gives you encouragement, that gives you strength no matter what you're dealing with. You should. Let me pull the reel back in. I said that so casual, like that's everybody's state. And the Most High, like, hold on now. Everybody ain't there. You should have favorite places in the book that no matter what's going on, instantly bring you encouragement. Instantly will put you in the spirit of praise and you see what I'm saying? You should have a few texts at least like that in the book that no matter what you can go to. Then you should understand certain portions of the book, like the law and what the prophets are talking about and the Psalms to be encouraged and sing, the Proverbs and James for wisdom. You see what I'm saying? Sirach. You should know basic stuff like this if you in this ministry. If you don't, let's get on that page. So it would depend on what you needing. Like if I know I just need some understanding, some wisdom, I can just without having anything specific, right, which I do, but say I don't, I would know. I could just go pick up the book of Proverbs and start reading. Something's going to jump out at me. I can go read the book of James or Songs of Solomon or Sirach. Or, you understand what I'm saying? You have to have these things, right? You have to have these things. And that could be your base. And it could be your encouragement. And then you got all the scriptures, right, that pastor or whoever's teaching gives during the what's the name. Write them down and go back over those. Ask the Father while you're meditating and studying those, what does this mean? Give me greater clarity. Give me greater understanding so I can serve you better. Again, listen to what I prayed. So I can serve you better. I don't need this understanding. See, you go to Yah, well, please give me this understanding so I can walk in this wisdom and everybody can come to me for answers. And you jacked up. Now you back what Pastor was talking about yesterday, trying to fulfill your lust. Actually, that wasn't Pastor was. I think we were doing that in Q&A. I'm sorry. Yeah, we had something going on in Q&A, and I think I answered that from a question. And the text that the saint read, it talked about clearly an individual seeking after its own lust because they were asking amiss. And you asking in amiss, and you're not getting it because it's for your own personal lust, meaning you want the glory. Some of you, if you're honest, you want these titles and these elevations for the wrong reason, and that's why you'll never get them. You asking amiss. I ain't asked to be no elder. I don't know anybody in their right mind that will want to be one. Not dealing with what you deal with in Israel. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. So I pray that gave you an answer there. Who knows what we need. I remember so many times where several brethren would have a testimony of having a question, and in the same Sabbath service, pastor addressed all. Yes, there you go. See, Yah knows what you have need of before you even ask of it. But that doesn't mean you hold back from asking, like Brother Ugly said. You still get it out there. And then I don't know how many times, I'm with you, Brother Ugly. I don't know how many times that's happened where I'm talking to the Father or with a brother or anything. And then the next message, it could be a video, it could be a Sabbath service, anything. It covers everything we were talking about. And it just fills you with joy like, man, y'all, you actually care that much? That just because we spoke about this, you put it in the heart of the man of Yah to preach to us today? Are you serious? But he's the greatest father in the world. He's the greatest father in the world. He's the greatest parent in the world. If your earthly parents will give you earthly gifts, what kind of gifts do you think he's going to give you? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am Yah. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I think someone had a question on what does that mean. And it means exactly that. When you pray, be expecting an answer. Be still and know that I am Yah, meaning I am the supplier of everything that you need. So when you ask, know that I'm going to provide. Be patient. Because, see, we in this microwave world, we ask, and if Yah don't say nothing to us in 2 seconds, don't move in our heart. He ain't listening to me. Yeah, he is. Be still and know that he is Yah. Let patience have its perfect work in you. Hallelujah. So be still. There's a song in it. Be still and know that he is Yah. One of my favorite out there. I love it. I really do. Because he's everything. He's holy. He's righteous. You're going to get every single thing you need if you earnestly and humbly go before the Father. Still and be patient. I promise you he's going to deliver it. Through an unction in your spirit, through the man of Yah, through a brother, through a wife, a child, he'll get it to you through a donkey if he needs to. But you, when you ask, you have to be patient and you have to be still, meaning have confidence knowing that because you sent it up in a righteous spirit, the answer is coming. Hallelujah. And sometimes you have to keep asking. 21 days, right? Everybody remember that? Daniel did. You got to keep asking sometimes. You have to keep asking. But be still. He going to deliver. And that's how you build up your faith, especially like what Brother Ugly talked about. We'll be talking about some, and then in the next service, pastor preach it. And you ain't talked to pastor. Nobody that was in that conversation had a word to say with pastor. But Yah heard what we said, gave it to pastor, and blessed us just because we brought it up earnestly, humbly. No guile attached to it, no self-glorification attached to it. He cares. And see, remember we talked earlier about going through that transparency, how that transition in Yah is super ugly, right? One of the things he does is he shows you yourself in that. But he also shows you how he is going to elevate you up and how he still loves you even though you were that piece of crap by choice. See, all the excuses are out the window then, because he's saying, attach yourself to me, trust me, be still and know that I am Yah, and watch what I do for you. And then it says you be careful to give him the praise, all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. It belongs to him. Hallelujah. Thanks. We had a beautiful broadcast tonight. That 2 hours went by fast. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Our rotations is normally every 5 weeks. Sometimes it changes because I was supposed to be on last week, but Elder Donnie, did we not get blessed by that sermon Elder Donnie gave us, y'all? He was on such a roll that we felt led to keep him rolling. So that's why he did this show last week and pushed me back a week. And I'm more than fine with that, y'all. I'm more than fine. I won't wait. Y'all won't. But, boy, Elder really, really blessed us, man, and it was just good to hear Elder and see him just back, my brother. So glory to the King. Hallelujah. So it's supposed to be every 5 weeks. What I try to do is I'll try to get on and announce when I'm coming on so that the questions can come in, because I got the broadcast where I'm telling y'all to send questions. So I'll get on Sons of Jacob. Sisters, I apologize. I normally will record for Sons of Jacob and then transfer it to y'all. I forgot to do that. I was on the road today, and I said it for Sons of Jacob, but I didn't transfer the message over to Sisters United. And I won't forget that moving forward. So that's what I'll do the day of or the day before when I know I'm on. I'll put a message on Sons of Jacob and on Sisters United, letting you guys know that I'll be on. If you have questions, email them to it. I may try to get a little bit more specific, because I got emails, I got Marco Polo's, I got text messages, I got emails on my personal email, I got emails coming in through the Georgia at Straightway email. I may just start directing everybody to the Georgia at Straightway email so I can go to one central location and keep all the emails together. That way y'all don't have to send me the message 10, 15 times for me to remember. So I'm probably going to start recommending that moving forward. Go to Georgia at Straightway.com or whatever that is. Yeah, straightway.com to get your questions in. Hallelujah. Saints, I enjoyed the fellowship. Man, I miss y'all. Golly gee, I miss y'all. I can't wait for Passover to come up, y'all. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. We were getting our dates today, y'all. We were putting it together and calling them in the straight way. And, oh, my God, can't wait to see y'all. To hug your necks, your brothers, to kiss your faces, man. I'm telling you, the way this dead season has been, it's going to be so good to be amongst the living. I'm probably going to be shaking some of y'all looking at you saying, you made it. You made it. Because I feel that way about me. Wow, I made it. Another feast, Father. Hallelujah. My. I thought they opened the borders, Brother Ugly. Or was that just for the trucker thing going on? Oh, it's not open. I thought they opened those borders because of the protests of the truckers. Man, I got to look deeper into that. I thought the borders was open. Hallelujah. Bless y'all, saints. Elder, love y'all dearly. Stay encouraged. Stay connected. Stay humble. Submit yourselves to those that have rule over you. And most importantly, to the things and the ways and the laws and the commandments of the Most High Yah. Man, this has been a beautiful broadcast. Again, I've enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to coming back again in the next 4 to 5 weeks whenever they're going to have me on. But saints, again, stay connected. I told you, this dead season has been something else. And I've gotten a warning telling me I got 90 seconds. So I'm trying to find my intro song so I can play it and get out of here. But there it is. We may not get through all of it, y'all. Bless y'all. Elder love y'all. Shalom, shalom.
The name.